Hey, Jared from Doom Racket here. I wanted to take a moment and apologize for the month without Casual Wednesdays that we all just went through. Suffice it to say, blah blah blah, production of a podcast is a labor-intensive thing, blah blah blah, we all have day jobs, blah blah blah, etc, etc, etc. Just know that when I say it was just as hard on us as it was on you, I actually mean it. So on behalf of both MJ and myself, please accept my heartfelt apologies. Alright. We are steering back on track as of this week, which happens to be the week leading up to this year's San Diego Comic-Con. A con, I should mention, that we will be attending for the very first time this year. So if this return episode seems too short for your liking, or if some of you are still pretty steamed about our month off, well, we're currently accepting resumes for interns, writers, masseuses, and of course, Time Lords. Okay, let's jump into it. It has been too long, dear listeners, but we are back, and we're going to share our plans for SDCC 2017, gab about the panels, events, and announcements that have us jazzed, and even provide clues as to where you can find us at this year's Super Bowl of comic books. Then we'll share our top 5 most anticipated issues of the week, and give our assessments to Wonder Woman number 26 and Kaiju Max season 3 number 1. It's Wednesday, July 12th. It's good to be back, everybody. Happy New Comic Book Day. You're listening to Casual Wednesdays. Boy, I hope I still know how to do this.
Do what?
Podcasting.
Oh.
You know, the thing that we're doing presently.
Well, you were stretching, and I thought you meant, like, the stretching in some sort of way.
Yeah, well, I've been sitting. It's bad for the back.
Oh, I know. Sitting there writing, and it just cramps you all up.
So, hello, everyone. We are back. Welcome to Casual Wednesdays with Doom Rocket. I am Jared Jones, editor-in-chief of DoomRocket.com, and with me, as always, is MJ Kramer, associate editor at Doom Rocket. Hello, MJ.
Hi, Jared.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I miss doing this.
I miss doing it, too. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird not doing it.
It was. I mean, we had things to do.
It
wasn't like Doom Rocket was, you know,
slacking off
or in the black. It's just like life finds a way to kick us in the ass every once in a while, as Dr. Ian Malcolm once said. So this week we are talking about Comic-Con, specifically the con.
The Comic-Con.
As far as many people are concerned. San Diego Comic-Con 2017.
Comic-Con International, as they specifically legally call it.
Mm-hmm. And this is the first time I'll be going, ever.
I know, I'm so excited going.
You're old hat. You're a veteran when it comes to this sort of thing.
I haven't been that many times. It's been like four maybe. I go like every other year, every 2 years or so.
Do you like it?
I do, but I mean, it's got its pros and it's got its cons.
Oh, man. Well, let's get into it a little bit before we start sharing about the stuff that we're excited about. I mean, what do you like about San Diego? What are a few of those pros?
Well, I like seeing pros, like comics pros.
Of course.
Not everybody can manage to go to San Diego anymore because it's so big and crazy and it's so hard to get a freaking hotel room for very long. So, I mean, a lot of our friends, even like Eisner winning professionals like Jill Thompson, she's only going for a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's just going like either Friday and Saturday or something. Like it's hard to coordinate more than that. It's really hard to get a badge. It's hard to get your room. It's hard to figure out what the hell you're going to be doing in that massive convention space.
So your pros kind of delved into cons almost immediately, talking about SDCC.
Yeah, right.
That didn't take long. Is there anything else that you're particularly excited about? What makes this stand out as a con, aside from its size?
Well, it's importance. You know, the Eisner Awards are given out. So, I mean, that's a big goddamn deal. That's as I often tell customers, that's the Academy Awards of Comics. So it's a big deal.
That's okay. So with the big and the good come the bad.
Well, just the amount of people there is always really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. especially when there's a lot of TV show stuff there. So yeah. If there's like a signing of like a TV show cast going on, like the Game of Thrones cast, the line and stuff will just be like people just like staring up at, you know, Cersei and Jon Snow signing. It will clog up like the entirety of that end of the convention center.
So you just stay away from that end.
But like sometimes you have to get to the other end to get to like Artist Alley or whatever, and you don't realize like why is this so crazy right now? Why is it like jam packed with people so that I can barely breathe? It's that kind of shit. It'll just like randomly be like, ugh, I can't even move because it's so crammed with people.
Right, and you mentioned Artist Alley. Now people complain the most that SDCC isn't necessarily the most comic creator friendly con in the world, and I'm picturing Artist Alley as like a smattering of professionals stuffed into a broom closet somewhere off to the side.
Well, it isn't necessarily a smattering. Mm-hmm. It is like off to the like the far end of the convention center, and everybody has super tiny, tiny little tables. Like it's like a space.
Like a milk crate?
It's like a big long thing, and everybody has like a space about 2 feet maybe in front of them. But the quality of the people that are there is always insanely good. And also a lot of artists will not necessarily be in Artist Alley. They'll, like their art rep will get a booth in the in the like the booth area on the other side. So sometimes artists and pros will be over there too. Or they'll be signing at DC or at Image or whatever, and they'll be on the actual, you know, con floor.
Well, if Grant Morrison's, is Grant Morrison going to be there?
I don't know. He's there a lot. I think, doesn't he live part-time in LA?
How the hell should I know? I don't stalk the man. But I'll say this, though. I've pretty much, like, in my limited experience with going to cons, just because I've never wanted to be bothered going to cons until we started doing Doom Rocket and it became a thing, I've pretty much met everyone I kind of want to meet.
Anything, except
with the exception of Mr. Grant Morrison, so like that's the bucket list thing. So if anything happens next weekend, if for nothing else, if I get to meet Grant Morrison, then I could just like call it a life. That's it.
Yeah.
No more cons. I can probably scrap Doom Rocket because my whole life had come full circle at that point.
Well, I remember, was it 2 years ago the last time I went, and I managed to. I don't know if I necessarily met him, but I chatted with him very briefly and got a photo.
Yeah, you got a photo with him. Yeah. That's enough.
And that was thanks to Chris Burnham because he was there. And I was like, Chris, introduce me. And I thought he was going to like stay there and chat for a bit, but he introduced me. He's like, yeah, this is Molly. Now I got to go. So I'm just like standing there with Grant Morrison. And I'm like, can I get a picture?
What did he smell like?
I don't remember.
Look, that would be something I would never forget. I met Dan DiDio at C2E2 this last year. I can tell you exactly what he smelled like. He smelled like aftershave and a little bit of a charisma. That's what he smelled like. I think that Grant Morrison probably smells like lilacs, shoe polish, and possibly perspiring diamonds.
Perspiring diamonds?
Like the diamonds you find in a grotto you haven't quite removed from the cave walls just yet. And like there's like a little spring, a natural spring in there, and it's gotten kind of misty in there, and you just kind of want to dive in, and it smells wonderful. That's what
and it's that smells particular like. Eau de parfum. It's that.
Oh yeah, that's okay. A nice sauce, as they say. Well, now let's talk about the things that we might actually get to do. No pipe dreams for me right now. Let's talk business. Let's talk about a couple of things that are going to be happening throughout the weekend that we're looking forward to the most. Why don't you kick us off? How do you want to start off your con?
Well, honestly, the main things that I want to do in San Diego, if I get a chance to, is just buy stuff.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, ease up, cowboy. We got a budget.
The exclusives that they have at San Diego this year are bonkers.
I saw a few.
And they're right up my alley. Yeah. Mainly, Skybound/Image is doing a goose. You know, Goose from Saga?
Goose!
The super cute little penguin-y dude.
Who will fuck you up if you...
Who's amazing.
Yeah, he's awesome.
A little plush of Goose with three fucking outfits.
Wouldn't that be plush of a goose?
Yes, a plush goose. I really, really want to get one. It's really limited. It's only like 500 pieces, but it's not too expensive, so I'm going to really try for it.
This isn't one of those weird exclusives where like you have to draw X amount of blood before you qualify for certain
exclusives. I don't think there are any blood-related things there that I know of.
Must have been something I heard.
Yeah, maybe. But that one I'm looking forward to. They're also doing, I'm kind of excited, but probably not going to get it. They're doing a action figure of the Will and Lion Cat from Saga, which looks pretty cool.
Well, I didn't get to see the Will one. Is this before or after the gut?
It's before.
Oh, wow.
It's when he still smelled.
I picture like a young Bruce Willis playing the Will.
Really?
In the Saga movie. Yeah, for some reason.
I feel like Bruce Willis isn't handsome enough.
Willis was exceptionally handsome back in the 80s. Moonlighting?
That young.
Okay. Yeah, when he still had his hair. And then he would shave it because he's the Will.
Maybe.
Well, anyway, I digress.
Maybe.
I digress. I'm with you there. There are a lot of collectibles and like statues and such that I'm really keen on at least checking out, if not daydreaming about purchasing, because Doom Rocket makes no money. But DC Collectibles is going to have like a whole weekend long like showing with a lot of the people that do like the sculptings of like the Batman black and white statues and such like that. So it'd be pretty interesting to take a look and see what the processes are like. As a matter of fact, DC Entertainment as a whole is going to have a whole glut of stuff, which as a mark, I'm pretty susceptible to. Like, for instance, they're going to be screening footage from the sci-fi series Krypton. And the more I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking like Krypton ought to have like an exclamation point at the end of it. Like all the great sci-fi movies like Them or Oklahoma, you know, like Krypton, like, we don't have Superman, but it's Krypton. Like, you get really pumped about it.
Yeah.
Wednesday night's preview night. That's when they're going to do it. And if we're around, I'm sure that's going to be an empty room, because who amongst us are actually pumped to see Krypton?
I don't know if San Diego has any empty rooms.
Really? It's that bad?
Yeah.
Wow. That's fascinating. Well, that moves me over to the next day, which we don't get to do a whole lot in the morning. We will be at the CBLDF booth.
Yeah, we're going to be working.
Morning. Yep. Every day till 2 p.m., that's California time for you Chicago kids who might be going. On Friday morning, their IDW has this really cool Ghostbusters panel, and usually I'm like, I don't care. But they're going to have Ivan Reitman there.
Well, also, isn't there, I'm not sure if it's going to be on Friday, but they're having a Black Crown panel, aren't they? Looks pretty cool, because our friend Teeny Howard is going to be there, and Tess Fowler is going to be there. Of course, Shelley Bond is going
to
be there.
Well, and it's pretty safe to assume that they're going to announce a few more books.
Oh, definitely.
But yeah, I'll definitely be checking out the Black Crown one if it's within my means. If not, I'm going to yell at Alex, our supervisor at the booth, and be like, hey man, I got a split for this. And you might say no, but it's fine. What else are you looking forward to? Are there any panels specifically that you might go to?
The only panel that has grabbed my attention is the one for a little series on Showtime called Twin Peaks, The Return. That is one of those big-ass, crazy Hall H panels, though. Yeah. It's like in between like something in Game of Thrones and shit. So I don't think I'm going to be making that panel. I would like to. I just want to think about maybe possibly running into Kyle MacLachlan on the streets of San Diego somewhere and just being able to tell him that I love him.
We got to hit up the coffee shops.
Yeah.
We got to corner the market on that.
And then the donut shops.
I'm actually excited because I get to hang out with Brandy, our contributing writer, Brandy.
Yeah, we get to see Brandy.
Yeah, she and her husband and their beautiful new baby, they all live out in San Diego. And we're always talking about going out there to see him. And now we have a bona fide excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandy will also be attending San Diego Comic-Con. So I'm very excited to hit the pavement and burn some shoe leather with Brandy and maybe get a story, an interview or something together. And our first actual journalistic collaboration, something I'm very, very excited about doing.
We should interview Kyle MacLachlan about how he's great.
Man, that would be something, wouldn't it? Yeah.
But regarding Kyle MacLachlan, another exclusive that I really want to get, Funko Pop. Pop Funko, whatever.
Do we not have enough of these monsters?
They are doing an exclusive double set of Black Lodge Coop spilling the coffee cup and Laura Palmer wearing like the black dress.
Did they make the one where she takes her face off and she's emanating like heavenly glow?
Not that I know of. I think it's just her normal face, but she's got the black dress and it's a two set. And I really want to get that.
It's going to cost like $500.
No, only after.
After taxes?
No, after the show, once it's on eBay, it'll go for lots of money.
I'm sure.
And DC is doing a DC Superhero Girls double set of, like, you know, those big 12-inch dolls they have? Of Wonder Woman and Cheetah.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Pretty excited.
Well, for me, there's a couple of geeky, like, I'm talking disturbingly geeky panels I want to go to. There's, I think this is still on Friday, an editing comics panel at 2:30 in room 8. And I want to go there because reasons.
That's not too disturbingly geeky.
But it's going to feature like Will Dennis, Molly Mahan from Vertigo is going to be there, Warren Simmons. It's got like a nice roster of editors I admire, and like I like to hear about the process a little more and maybe schmooze a little bit. Well, speaking of panels about TV shows that are comics adjacent, we have a Preacher panel on Thursday as well at 4 o'clock in Hall H, which I am either going to skip or attend simply to protest.
You're just gonna throw rotten fruit.
Rotten fruit. Or I will make a better use of my time and attend the DC's Young Animal panel, which takes place at the exact same time.
That is probably a much more productive use of your time.
I agree. I think that is the one I'm going to aim for. So here we come to Saturday. Saturday is kind of a really hectic day for us because we have the auction, the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund auction, which I think takes place at 7 p.m. on Saturday night.
Either 6 or 7.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So definitely give that a shot if you are in town and you want to see us. Really hustling. It's going to be a lot of fun. But we work until 2 that day, so we only got like a 5-hour window, and I presume that I'll be taking a nap within that 5. Saturday evening, Marvel Comics or Marvel Studios is going to be closing it out, as they typically do, and I hear tell that their panel is about 90 minutes long.
Is that normal?
It's typically an hour. Most panels are an hour. 90 minutes long is like if they're screening something else and they like bookend it with like Q&As or such. Mm. 90 minutes. So what do we got with Marvel Studios this year? We've got probably a Thor Ragnarok trailer, perhaps a sneak peek at Infinity War in some capacity, Black Panther.
Will they be doing any Defenders stuff?
Oh, Defenders got its own panel. Like Netflix has its own thing going on, also in Hall H. It's going to feature the entire cast, Mike Coulter, Kristen Ritter, Charlie Cox, and then that blonde kid they got. I'm not too keen on that one. I'll see the Defenders when it comes out, but I'm not going to break my back trying to see a panel of that.
Yeah.
And then comes Sunday, I think I'm just going to, when I get done with the booth, I'll go over to Artist Alley and say hello to all the buds and spuds that I know are in town. That should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else coming out of San Diego that you are very excited about?
Well, there's more exclusives.
Oh, boy.
Marvel has a really awesome Marvel Legends, like, 5-pack Battle for Asgard set.
What does this entail?
Oh my god, it's amazing. And the packaging is phenomenal. It all folds together into like a circle and then comes apart. And it's got Jane Foster Thor, Malekith, Ulrich the Troll, Thor Odinson, you know, like super beefcakey Russell Dowderman Thor.
One arm?
No, I don't remember. But it's him without the shirt and just wearing that like sort of red one-shoulder cape. It's pretty great. And Boar. So I really, really want to get that. It looks amazing.
And how much does that little doozy cost?
Oh, I don't know, like 50 or 60 bucks. You know,
that's not bad actually.
No, it's not. And the Goose plush, like it's only 40. So if I only get those two, it'll only be a hundo.
Well, Goose can, you know, squeeze in to the old bed, but like, where the hell are we gonna put all those Thor figures?
I don't know.
Put up more shelves.
Goose is my number one try for. It's like I want to snuggle him. I want to give him hugs and put his little rain hat on him.
See, I think I'm gonna probably try to pilfer a couple of Toon Tumblers so our cats can break them within 3 months of me buying them and being happy to have them. Now comes the time, as it is with every episode of Casual Wednesdays, where we discuss the top 5 most anticipated issues of the week. All right, MJ, I'm going to have you kick us off this week, if that's okay.
Well, my first pick for the week is an Image book. It is Black Cloud number 4, written by Jason Latour and Ivan Brandon, with art by Greg Hinkle and colors by Matt Wilson. It is a really, really phenomenal book. I can't believe it's already on issue 4.
Mm-hmm.
What's your next one, Jared?
Well, the first one I'm just going to get out of the way. It's the big book from DC Comics this week, Dark Days, the casting number 1. This is another prelude to the big metal event that's coming. I presume it picks up after the events of The Forge, which I enjoyed enough. I'm not really sold on the whole like aesthetic of Dark Days or metal. It seems like pretty antithetical to Rebirth, but they kept it pretty upbeat in terms of tone in The Forge. So I was pretty surprised and pleased by that. I'm not 100% sold on why the hell we need another Hawkman take or why Hawkman should exist ever, but, like, here we are. And I'm excited for a couple of Easter eggs that were revealed in The Forge that I probably shouldn't reveal here.
I thought it was going to be a thing where meta was, like, is metal meta, and then they were going to be casting people.
Okay, that's very nice.
I thought it'd be the best.
Okay, great. What's next for you, MJ? What do you got for us?
Bug, The Adventures of Forager, number 3. Which is a miniseries from Young Animal from DC, written by Lee and Michael Allred. We mentioned Michael Allred. He is a favorite of us here at Doom Rock at
Absolutely.
HQ. Michael Allred is writing it with his brother Lee. Michael does the art. His wife Laura does the colors. It's all in the family. And it is one of the most fun, excellently great books I have read this year. It's just a chuckle from beginning to end. And it's and the whole thing, it's just homaging all of Kirby's various DC creations. Mm. I can't recommend it enough. I just kind of push it in people's hands at the store.
It's a good book.
Yeah, no, it's I adore it, and I can't wait for more. All right, what's your next book, Jared?
My next book is a book that I reviewed already this week, an advanced review for Kalexit number 1 from Black Mass Studios. Kalexit features the artistic team from Young Terrorists, Matt Pizzolo, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the artist's name, but he is wonderful. I enjoyed Kalexit. I think it's a lot more subversive than I think people are really prepared for, and I definitely think it's a lot more satirical than I think people are expecting. And it's a big debut too. We got 52 pages, including essays and interviews at the back from Mr. Pizzolo himself, who interviews some really fascinating people, including Lexi Alexander, who's a filmmaker and has done some wonderful episodes of The CW Supergirl. So yeah, check it out. Kalexit number 1 from Black Mask is my next book this week. MJ, what's next for you?
Well, my next one is another Image book, which is Regression number 3. Mm-hmm. One of the 80 trillion books that Cullen Bunn writes.
Yep.
With art by Danny Luckert and colors and letters by Murray Inger. Cullen Bunn, I like him best when he's doing horror.
Yeah.
And especially like his creator-owned horror. This book, it's so gross.
Yeah.
I just get creeped out. It's just, I have a really bad thing with bugs. And there's tons and tons of creepy, creepy bug shit in this book. And I like how it scares me a lot, even though it grosses the shit out of me.
It's healthy to be scared.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a fun little, you know, bit of adrenaline. But it's really cool. It deals with the character. The regression mentioned is him regressing to, like, a past life, but he seems to have woken something up. And there's lots of nasty bug stuff involved. So, yeah, it's super creepy. I definitely recommend Regression number 3.
I'm always down for bug stuff.
What's your next book, Jared?
This one takes us over to the Catalyst Prime corner of Lion Forge Comics. I'm picking Catalyst Prime XL number 2, written by Joe Casey and art by Damian Scott. The Catalyst Prime line I'm really enjoying because it's giving me flashbacks to the Milestone line from DC Comics back in the mid-90s, and I miss it dreadfully. It's got a terrific crew of artists and writers working on all these, like, connected superhero stories. It's a contained superhero universe. It's a really wonderful one at that. And XL is he's a speedster. Not only that, but he's a very important fixture into the Catalyst Prime superhero line. And not only that, though, but we got 3 gorgeous covers that came out this week. We got one from the artist himself, Damian Scott, who's like some weird, wild anime, twisted acid trip version of like Mike Waringo.
I love Damian Scott.
He's really great. Good. A variant covered by Kieran Grant, and then an incentive variant from Patrick Zercher, who's done some pretty cool stuff over at Action Comics that I enjoyed, on top of a lot of other stuff too. Catalyst Prime XL number 2 is my 3rd pick this week. I'm bringing it back to you, MJ. What do you got?
Next one is a Marvel book. Spider-Man 2, number 1.
Now, is that you saying Spider-Man funny again? Because I already told you about that.
No, Spider-Men.
No.
Plural. But hyphenated. Definitely, always. Gotta have that hyphen. But written by Brian Michael Bendis with art by Sarah Pichelli, colors by Justin Ponsor.
Mm-hmm.
They did the first Spider-Men series a couple years ago, which was the first crossover meeting between Miles Morales and Peter Parker.
Before Secret Wars made it official?
Yes, before they were residing in the same universe. Mm-hmm. They're going to explain like the 616 universe Miles, because everybody in like the Ultimate Universe had, you know, their counterpart, their doppelganger in the 616 universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing at the very, very end of Spider-Men, Peter is like, that's Miles? He's like looking him up in the 616 universe. but then they never explain it. All right, what's your next pick for the week, Jared?
All right, my number four pick this week is Action Comics number 983 from DC Comics. This continues the revenge story arc that I've been enjoying very much, written by Dan Jurgens. The arc this week comes from Victor Bogdanovich, who was working over on New Superman, who is also a character that's featured in this issue. So it's going to be very interesting to see his take on the wider Superman family. Not to mention, of course, the Superman Revenge Squad themselves, General Zod, Cyborg Superman, Eradicator, Mongul, and then that twerp Blink that Dan Jurgens is still trying to make a thing. And of course, Metallo himself. I'm very excited about it because, of course, I'm an unabashed Superman fan. Action Comics number 983 marks my fourth pick this week. MJ, what's next for you?
All right, my last one for the week is also the one that I am reviewing. Oh. Wonder Woman number 26.
Okay.
Written by Shea Fontana. Illustrated by Mirka Andolfo with colors by Romulo Fayardo Jr. Shea Fontana has been writing the DC Superhero Girls graphic novels that have been coming out and have been selling like gangbusters.
I'm sure.
Yeah, those are... And they're super fun too. So I'm interested to see her take on, you know, the characters in universe as adults and not going to superhero high school. and I've been enjoying Mirka Andolfo's work on like Bombshells and other various things. So I'm hopeful, but I don't know, you know, following Greg Rucka.
That's a tough act to follow.
Et al. Is gonna be hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's your last one for the week, Jared?
Well, also, my last pick this week is the book I'm reviewing. It is Kaiju Max Season 3, Number 1 from Oni Press by Mr. Xander Cannon. And instead of just going on about it, let's just talk about it.
All right.
Let's get the reviews out of the way.
All right, Jared, what's your elevator pitch for Kaiju Max Season 3, Number 1?
Well, Kaiju Max is one of the loveliest books I've ever read. That's not hyperbole. I honestly mean that. I won't bother with the Godzilla meets HBO's odd superlatives because they're beyond played out at this point. But suffice it to say that the third season of Kaiju Max, out today, is as much a cultural moment as anything you'd ever find on television.
And why did you decide to read this book?
It's Kaiju Max, Xander Cannon's loving ode to Kaiju, Jaeger, and street crime, I guess? Also the prison industrial complex? It's heavy stuff, but I've been loving this book for a minute now, and the arrival of this issue is practically Christmas Day for me. I'm very excited about it.
Well, what did you love about it?
Well, each season of Kaiju Max is a contained saga focusing on a few characters caught in the zeitgeist of the monsters versus human dichotomy. Some stories take place within the maximum security prison from which this book takes its name. Others take place on the outside, quote-quote, as they say, as criminals say, I presume. Even if you've never read a single issue of this series, if you see a number one on a cover to Kaiju Max, you can totally jump on and not worry about missing a thing. And that's totally the case with this issue, I'm happy to say.
Was there anything you didn't like?
For the uninitiated, Xander's creative use of prison slang can take a minute to get used to. He also implements strange slang depending on the kind of monster he's dealing with, because there's a gaynus for practically every type of movie monster, and Xander Cannon has thought of them all, which I love and appreciate, but it can get a little esoteric sometimes. If I can make it through the first batch of books uninitiated and come out loving it, so can practically anybody else. As for everything else, I had zero qualms with the issue. This is every inch the grade A quality we've come to appreciate from Mr. Cannon.
Who would you recommend this book to, and why?
This book is recommended for anyone who loves tremulous facial expressions, gripping emotional resonance, and, I'm going for it, British kitchen sink melodramas. I'm not making that up. This book is also recommended for anyone who loves giant-ass robots and lizards, and maybe a splash of the macabre. It doesn't matter if you belong to one camp, the other, or both. No matter who you are, you will end up loving Kaiju Max.
All right. Well, what is your score for Kaiju Max Season 3, Number 1?
Well, I gave this book a 9 out of 10.
Dang.
All right, MJ, what are you assessing for us this week?
Wonder Woman number 26.
All right, great. What is your elevator pitch?
Take the writer from the DC Superhero Girls graphic novel line and combine with one of the artists from DC Comics Bombshells and mix in a story that tries to delve a little deeper into Wonder Woman's origins, like, emotionally. And you get Wonder Woman number 26.
I see. And why did you decide to read this book?
Well, at this point, regarding Wonder Woman and myself, such a question should be moot. Like Jared Jones over here with any Superman comic,
guilty.
I will always, always at least try out a new creative team on a Wonder Woman comic. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that means I jump in on something stirring and beautiful, and sometimes that means I read a comic that makes me want to scream bloody murder. Most of the time, though, it's just a pretty readable comic, which is what we have here in Wonder Woman number 26.
And what did you love about it?
Well, I liked more about this issue than I loved, but I love that the writer, artist, and letterer are all ladies. I love that Fontana has a solid grasp of all the characters' voices, and I love that most of the characters who speak or appear are all women, mm-hmm. and I love that Diana wears this awesome sleek black pantsuit to a wedding. All in all, the story felt very standard Wonder Woman, although it does start to delve into Diana's relationship with her mother, along with what kind of physical and emotional toil her constant superheroing could have. She doesn't have that Clark Kent or Bruce Wayne dual identity thing going. She's just Diana of Themyscira 24/7. Unfortunately, this issue wasn't enough to tell how successful it'll be, but subsequent issues will let us know.
Mm-hmm. And was there anything you didn't like?
Well, it's going to be especially hard to follow Greg Rucka, Nicola Scott, Liam Sharp, and Bilquis Evely, no matter what you do.
Oh, yeah.
Which might be why this issue just felt so average. And Dolfo's art is at times beautiful, but more often than not, it's inconsistent. Mm. You can tell she prefers drawing women and girls. She has, like, this pin-uppy style, and they just end up looking better than most of the fellas. But unfortunately, she draws Diane's uniform with boob socks.
Oh.
You know, when the fabric of a lady superhero character's uniform behaves like no fabric ever does and delineates every inch and up and under and around of the boobs.
Yeah.
So that was kind of disappointing.
I'm sorry.
And unrelated to the comic itself, and you brought this up last week, the Snickers ad over the goddamn centerfold, which is made up of sequentials penciled beautifully by Ivan Rice, mm-hmm. pulled me straight out of the book because I thought I was hopping into, like, it's like, wait, why Flyer, Flash, and Superman here? Mm-hmm. Oh, because this is an ad for Snickers.
It's a cute ad. Stuff it in the back, yeah. guys. Yeah. Jesus.
But, unrelated to the actual story, yeah. but still real annoying.
And who would you recommend this book to, and why?
Well, I would recommend this book to any and all Wonder Woman fans, and anyone who wants to read a fun superhero book with really great representation.
And what would you give Wonder Woman number 26?
7 out of 10.
All right. Every week we take to social media to ask you, our listeners, the pressing questions on our minds. This week's question, what news are you excited to hear from this year's SDCC? And what are your opinions on this con in general? We asked, and you answered. MJ, take it away.
Well, my friend, who also goes by MJ, but we call her Tiny MJ, she said, I'm pretty much never going to be interested in going to SDCC. It's too big, and I wouldn't have a good time. I have always avoided it. But if I had an extra $250, that I Hate Fairyland statue would be mine.
Gene Haw gives us, like, this really direct anecdote that illustrates his problem with the con, as it is with many other people's problem with the con, including retailers. This one involves a story about Mile High Comics in Colorado swearing off SDCC forever after a long 44 years of attending it.
Yeah, I read about that.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate story, and I would love to get into the meat of it, but we gotta move on. Yeah. MJ, what's next?
My friend Phoebe Svoboda said, it's my first go at it this year, so I'm cautiously excited and nervous. Mostly excited for TV show news, to be heckin' honest.
Uh-huh. Well, Christopher Sabila over on Facebook said it is a bad con. A man of few words, there.
And my friend Michi Trota said, I'm always pleased to see people having a good time, but I'm also curious if it would finally hit that too big and overwhelming even for me wall, given how massive it is. Thing is, I'm not going to really find out anytime soon unless they fix their anti-harassment policy to be more than the merest of lip service, since I signed Scalzi's anti-harassment pledge a few years back, and that means something to me. I'm no longer interested in paying money to attend any events where I have no confidence whatsoever that should anything happen, the event will have my back.
Hmm. Well, Ian Boone, one of our earliest contributors on DoomMarket.com, hi, Ian, he said, all that the con has come to mean to me recently is an annoying amount of one-stock Funko scus that will send local assholes into a frenzy. Merch, merch, merch.
My friend L said they're doing an interactive, immersive Blade Runner 2049 experience in Gaslamp outside the convention center, which is like sort of like a little district where a lot of the con stuff has moved. And that's pretty much what I'm going to be doing all weekend. I literally could care less for everything else. It's terrible.
We got time for one more, and it's from Mr. Steven Scott over at IDW on Facebook. Steven says, is it over yet? That's it. That's all the time we have for this installment of Casual Wednesdays. Need more of this dweeby little podcast in your life? Check out our 32-episode archive over on iTunes. Rate and subscribe and tell us how we're doing. Or search Casual Wednesdays over on DoomRocket.com. And look us up on Twitter. Tell us how much you missed us. Or don't. Anyway, you can find me at @JarrettJones_. MJ, where can they find you?
At @MollyJane_K.
Thank you, MJ.
Welcome.
It's nice to be back.
It is.
And that's it. So until I hit my not vain at all con bot goals, I remain Jared, that's MJ, and from all of us here at DoomRocket.com, have a comical new comic book day.